to the First Round Flick podcast. I'm Sandra Dugan.
And I'm Eric Dugan.
And we are two ordinary movie lovers just like you.
Each week we sit down in our living room and draft our top five movies in a given category. But this week we have a special guest, Grant Bennett.
Welcome.
The one and only provider of our music.
This feels good. This feels right.
I'm so glad you feel the same.
This is like home right now. It feels good.
Well, the rules of the draft are simple. Grant and I are going to be drafting this week, and we're going to alternate back and forth until we each have five. You, our listeners, will then be able to go to our Instagram or Twitter at First Round Flick and vote for the draft you liked best.
And today, they're going to be drafting heist movies.
Picked this one for you, Grant, yes. Because I mean, you like a lot of similar movies to me,
mm-hmm.
And I think an all-time great subcategory of movies is heist movies.
Oh, yeah. This is very intimidating because the genre has been around forever, and there are some great movies.
Well, first step, we got to find out who's going to go first.
Oh, boy.
Two.
I was going to say, I couldn't see that.
Six.
Hey-o!
All right, you get to go first. Pressure's off. Or is it on?
I don't know. I guess we'll see. I may have overthought this, but we'll get right into it.
Okay, Grant, what is your first round flick?
Going with a classic here, Eric. My first round flick is Ocean's 11.
I'm out.
You're out.
The prison. You remember the day that I went for cigarettes and didn't come back? You must have noticed.
I don't smoke, don't sit.
Now, they tell me that I paid my debt to society.
Funny, I never got a check.
You're not wearing your ring.
I sold it. I don't have a husband, or didn't you get the papers?
My last day inside.
I told you I'd write.
Of course you would pick Ocean's 11.
Yes, I did.
That was absolutely going to be my first pick as well.
I think it's a generational thing. I think that this is the ultimate heist movie for millennials, which we obviously both are, directed by Steven Soderbergh, George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Julia Roberts, Matt Damon, all in their prime. In my opinion, George Clooney really going into his prime. After this, he did Syriana. I mean, just incredible. I mean, George Clooney pretty much should have been done after Batman Robin. I think most people can agree. But he came in with this blockbuster.
It's rare to get such a cast like this.
Yes.
Like music, you have super groups, people come together. But movies, usually movie stars are so expensive, you wouldn't be doing this. But this lineup, from top to bottom, everybody they got in here.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's so hot.
I'm
so good looking.
I'm so glad you said that.
I'm just putting it out there. I had a crush on almost every guy in this movie.
I still do. I am happily married to Brandy. Love ya.
Prime George Clooney, top notch Brad Pitt.
Mm-hmm.
I also had a soft spot for Matt Damon at the time.
Casey Affleck.
So many good looking boys in this movie.
Don Cheadle.
Yeah.
Andy Garcia.
Oh my gosh. Andy Garcia
before he became a laughingstock. Is he a laughingstock? I think he is.
Is he? Why do you think he's a laughingstock?
Because he's just doing like gangster movies now.
Yeah.
He really hasn't done much.
I mean, he fits into it. And that's still the kind of the role he's playing in this movie. He is the casino owner, but he's like a distant cool.
Well, he's also the victim.
Yes.
Which is so interesting about this movie is that who did not want to be a villain after seeing this movie?
Definitely glorifies serious crime.
Right, right. And so we're all looking at Andy Garcia like, oh, he's such an asshole. But really, he got his girlfriend stolen. He got his money stolen. He got his Prad stolen. He got stole from.
Poor Andy Garcia.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
This is also an all-time role of Brad Pitt eating things.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up. Every scene, almost. Right? Every scene?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it must have been a really fun shoot for him, as I imagine it was for everybody. Of course, you have to pick this first one. None of the follow-ups. I mean, Ocean's 12 is fine. Ocean's 13 was actually pretty good, pretty enjoyable, I thought.
They were trying to harken back to the first one.
Yes.
So if there's any listener who has lived under a rock or, like the lovely Sandra, does not like heist movies, this is actually a remake from a Rat Pack movie back in the day with Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis Jr. and Dean Martin. It follows con man Danny Ocean. He wants to score the biggest heist in history, so he orchestrates an 11-member team, hence Ocean's 11, to rob three of the largest Las Vegas casinos, the Bellagio, the Mirage, and the MGM Grand, which mean nothing to me because I've never been to Vegas and not much of a gambler.
What?
And Brandy grew up in Vegas.
You've never been to Vegas?
No.
Okay, well, you have to go.
Well, I'd go there for
food. We have to go now.
Yeah.
This is at the peak of the transformation that Vegas had, which makes this a very interesting cultural document. We never got to know old Vegas, old like mob Vegas, which was just a different time.
Right.
You had the CD Strip. 2001, this is kind of the corporate takeover of Vegas. And it's a very surreal place because it's just these big casinos. Everything is giant and like concrete and manufactured. But this just made it feel like so much fun. And all those little things, like there's a scene where at the end where all of them are just sitting out watching the fountains.
Yeah.
That wasn't even planned. That was just an accident. But it encapsulates what's perfect about this movie.
And I don't even know what song plays behind that. This is actually the movie that I recently rewatched. It's just brilliant and perfect. It's like the sexiest heist movie you could watch, and it's cool, it's fast-paced, but it's very digestible. You don't get bogged down with too many little minute details. It moves so quick that you can't really poke holes in the plot too much. It's just fun. The personalities, everyone's different. It is awesome.
And what makes this very satisfying as a movie, as a viewer, just psychological, the heist goes according to plan.
Yes.
And so it's so satisfying to see as they're planning it and then it all comes together. Every individual of Ocean's 11 has their part to play. It's just a fun time at the movies and eminently rewatchable.
Yes.
This would have been probably my first draft too if I would have been participating in this particular draft. I really enjoyed this movie. There's not a lot not to like. It's a lot of stars and a lot of fun.
To me, this is this first pick. It's Ocean's 11 and everything else after it. This really sets the bar for heist movies, in my opinion.
Absolutely agree. Great pick.
All right, man. What's your first pick?
Well, this is a lot of pressure because I know we're going to be picking the same movies. Got to tread carefully here. But I'm going to go for a little bit more of a recent movie, but in the past decade, probably the best heist movie.
I think I know where you're going.
And that is 2010's The Town.
What's the matter? Let me see that thing.
She lives four blocks away from me.
Yeah, I know where we are, Bones.
She didn't see anything.
Are you sure?
Taking her for a ride didn't help.
I'm gonna stalk her like an ACOG. We'll find out.
Find out what?
If she needs to get scared.
She's already scared.
I'm maybe not scared enough.
I'll do it.
Why are you gonna do it?
Because you're the reason we're having this conversation.
Yeah, but I'm gonna get it done.
What are you gonna get done? Huh? You're gonna get picked up for intimidating a witness. You walk within 100 feet of her, that's 10 years.
Wow! Did not see that one coming, but a brilliant pick.
Yeah. I mean, this is the heistiest of heist films. We got like three different heists that happen. I'm surprised that you're surprised. The Town, to me, this was the one that proved that Ben Affleck is for real as a director. It's taking place in Boston, his hometown. It's all about the townies who are prolific in bank robbing, and they do it in this movie. We got a bunch of different heists. We got some iconic masks. We got the nun masks, which featured most prominently in the trailer.
Yes.
We got a great cast, Ben Affleck, Jeremy Renner, John Hamm, and Rebecca Hall.
Yeah, I am surprised. Probably because I haven't seen it since the year it went out, or came out, rather. But, great movie. I remember this started Ben Affleck getting more respect, I would say, within film. He became a little bit of a laughingstock in the middle because he did, what, Geely, and he was more known for his romances. And
yeah, he was doing the leading man thing. He had some romantic comedies, little quirky things. So this came out before Argo. And this kind of proved his bona fides going into that. about why to have a movie that could actually win Best Picture, this set the stage for it.
Yeah. And really, I mean, not only him as a director, but also as a leading man that wasn't trying too hard to be a heartthrob. He really just played to who he actually is as an actor. I think his personality really came through. And overall, I'd say it was a wicked awesome film.
I'm going to go down to the harbor.
That's good. See? Okay.
Thank you. And like I mentioned before, it's a very dark movie. And it's more in the model of you kind of have your Ocean's 11 films where it's fun hijinks.
Yep.
And then you have these other films where dark characters and the heist is not going to go according to plan.
Yes.
There's going to be some improvising. People are going to die. Got backstabbing. This is sorely in that side of the spectrum of heist movies, but highly recommend for anyone who has not seen it.
Yeah. A fantastic film and honestly, great pick.
Well, thank you. Sandra, have you seen this one?
Very appealing Ben Affleck.
Top five Ben Affleck.
Top three Ben Affleck. Definitely at his prime.
Wait, are you going off of pictures or have you seen this movie?
I have slept through this movie.
Okay, Grant, what is your second pick?
Great question. I'm going to go with my heart with this one, Eric. It's a little outside of, I think, the traditional heist movie, but honestly, one of my favorite movies of all time, and it's brilliant. And I am going to have to take the incredible Inception.
You create the world of the dream. We bring the subject into that dream, and they fill it with their subconscious.
How could I ever acquire enough detail to make them think that it's reality?
Well, dreams, they feel real while we're in them, right? It's only when we wake up that we realize something is actually strange. Let me ask you a question. You never really remember the beginning of a dream, do you? You always wind up right in the middle of what's going on.
Well, you were really worried that I was going to take Inception, so you're bumping it up the draft board.
No, I had it in the spot the whole time.
Is this what you thought I was going to take?
I did.
Okay.
But honestly, I can't say enough about this film. But trying to explain the plot and writing all that down, it's a mess.
Well, oh, is it? Is it really?
Let's just say Sandra has a longstanding thing that she is not going to watch Inception, and that's fine for her. But basically, the heist in here is ideas.
Yes.
So it's very different, but it's still very much a heist movie.
However, instead of stealing a thought, which is what Dom Cobb, the skilled thief, Leo, oh my God, Leo, what he does, instead, the main heist, quote unquote, in this movie is that they implant a memory.
Thus Inception.
And it's Inception.
Yep.
And it's brilliant. And you have Tom Hardy, you have Leo, you have Joseph Gordon-Levitt, you have Ellen Page, you have Michael Caine, you have Christopher fucking Nolan.
It is the murderers. It is the murderer's row of Christopher Nolan actors. I think an all-time great performance for Leo.
Yes. I think it's his overall best movie. Hot take.
Whoa, that is an extreme hot take.
Hot take.
That I don't think I
absolutely
agree with.
Absolutely not. I'm speechless.
Okay, who has the conch right now?
You're right.
It is a hot take, but I also feel like this is Christopher Nolan's most creative and complete work.
It does pull in all those Nolanisms.
Yes.
Like where you have the definitive Hans Zimmer score.
Mm-hmm.
You have the trippy, mind-bendy plot in and of itself. You have the core actors.
Yes.
So I agree with you that this is what people think of when they think of Christopher Nolan.
Yes. And I think that I've always had a very soft spot for The Prestige, which he did mid-2000s.
That is perhaps my favorite Nolan film.
Yes.
Not to tip my cards for a future draft.
It's masterful again. But this is probably the film that is most like it, where at the very end of Inception, you want to watch Inception again, and you kind of don't know what just happened. But again, there's not too many plot holes. It's fast paced. You can't really sit there and think about it too much because you're just enjoying the spectacle that is in front of you. The visuals are incredible.
We have to mention Marion Cotillard as
yes.
well.
Yes.
Why, Eric?
Oh,
why?
Boy.
I just think she's really great in this movie. That's all.
He just thinks she's really great in every movie, Grant.
She is fantastic in this movie because she is kind of the villain. And it's all in Leo's head, his character's head, and it's playing to the guilt that he has over her suicide.
And that's the most powerful moment of the movie, when you finally get to that scene and how far back in his mind what's making him have anxiety.
Yeah, yeah. It's brilliant. I love this movie. Can't say it enough.
It was definitely on my board, so twice you've sniped me here.
All right, Eric. Number two, what you got?
For number two, I think my pick is going to be a little bit similar to my first pick, but I need to get it off the board now because it is so iconic, and that is 1995's Heat.
You see me doing thrill-seeking liquor store hold-ups with a Born to Lose tattoo on my chest?
No, I do not.
Right. I am never going back.
Then don't take down scores.
I do what I do best. I take scores. You do what you do best, trying to stop guys like me.
So you never wanted a regular type life?
The fuck is that? Barbecues and ball games?
Beautiful pick. Barely off of my board.
What?
Barely off of my board.
You're saying...
I'm working through things here. But tell me why you chose Heat.
This is the iconic heist movie from which everything that comes after that is just kind of derivative. You have the iconic shootout at the end. You have De Niro versus Al Pacino.
Good De Niro, good Pacino.
I know, that hallmark of that cat and mouse game of the chief thief and the policeman after him. So Michael Mann, of course, would go on to do Collateral. It's got his signature style all over it. It's dark. It's got very punchy action. You feel the weight of the guns that are being fired. And the heist goes completely wrong. Why is this not on your draft board?
I think probably because of Val Kilmer's hair. He was very Batman to me. However, this type of gritty, grimy film, cat and mouse, is up my alley. I love how cold the whole movie is. It's not warm. You don't see a whole lot of explosions. It's a very different take on an action movie, especially heist, especially in 1995. They weren't making movies like this. And just the brilliance and that scene with De Niro and Pacino when they confront each other.
When they sit down in the diner for the first time.
I mean, that it gives you goosebumps just thinking
about
it.
It's an iconic scene in an iconic movie.
Yes.
Everyone at the top of their game.
Does it put you in the mood to watch Chino and De Niro in an upcoming Scorsese movie?
Sandra's referring to, of course, they will be reunited in the Irishman gangster movie coming out later this year.
They've been reunited before, and it's been thumbs down.
I am honestly, I knew this is going to be a competitive draft. I'm a little shocked that the first two picks that I've made, maybe the Heat didn't surprise you, but that they weren't even high on your board. So I'm leaving this wide open for you for number three.
For my third pick, I'm going to go with one of the most underrated films of the last 10 years, in my opinion.
Whoa.
Hell or High Water.
The end there was pretty rough.
I could have helped out a little if she asked. I could have fed them skinny cows.
We had nothing to feed them.
Well, I could have helped clean up the house a bit.
Never take you for the go-to guy for house cleaning.
No. Just robbing banks. Yeah.
Wasn't this nominated for Best Picture?
Yes, it was.
So I
love this movie.
I wouldn't say it's underrated, but it is one of the smaller movies, and it is absolutely great.
Okay, it was nominated for 4 Oscars. Didn't win any, though.
Criminal.
Well, a heistical. This movie has Chris Pine, Ben Foster, Jeff Bridges, among other very small bit actors. It follows two brothers, Chris Pine and Ben Foster, who are robbing a Texas Midland Bank, going from small branch to small branch, only pulling a couple $1,000 at a time to make it so it's not a big deal. They don't want to, well, Chris Pine's character does not want to make a big scene, doesn't want any altercations. His brother, however, is an ex-criminal who just got out of prison a year earlier, and he wants to go guns a-blazing. They have a different mentality altogether. It is a cat and mouse game, much like many great heist movies, and it has Jeff Bridges, who for some reason is always eating gravel now when he speaks.
Yeah, you're right. But he does good in this role. And I think what I like about this movie is it's definitely a mood, and it's very much set of a place.
Yes.
The fact that it's in Texas, the idea that everyone is armed, especially in rural Texas, plays a very big role in this movie.
Yes.
Which I found very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to rely on a lot of big action set pieces,
yep.
but it still offers that dramatic tension that is inherent to something like a heist movie of like, what's going to happen?
Yep. Yep. Gritty. And I would almost say this is a lot like Heat in a way. There's an exchange between law and the criminal at the very end of this film, much like Heat. It doesn't go completely to plan.
You're right. It is very much reflective of Heat.
Also very interesting, the fact that it didn't go to plan, but it did go to plan. They actually set out to do a very specific thing, save their mom's ranch, who had recently passed away, I think from cancer or some sort of illness. And the brother did not live, but one brother did live and gave the ranch, really put in a trust for his kids.
And he got away with it.
And Jeff Bridges, who's the Texas Ranger, knows it was him and can't do anything about it.
Yep. It's such a good movie because it also layers in some recent commentary about the housing crisis that brought a lot of mortgage collapse and suffering to even Midland, Texas. And so there's a bit of like a Robin Hood vibe to what Chris Pine is doing. It's complicated with his brother being kind of inherently a bad person, but then it ends in a very nice note that just this movie is just so perfect with its writing, and it makes you feel good about the outcome.
Yes, and I'm just a sucker for the anti-hero, and this is an anti-hero lover's dream.
My favorite part about this movie is that it allowed me to make a cocktail at our Oscar party called Come Hell or High Watermelon, and it was really good.
It was a really good cocktail.
Nice.
Well, this is a great pick, man.
All right. Nitty gritty. We're getting down to number three from Mr. Eric. What do you got?
Number three off my board is going to be 2006 Inside Man.
Pay strict attention to what I say, because I choose my words carefully and I never repeat myself. I've told you my name. That's the who. The where could most readily be described as a prison cell. But there's a vast difference between being stuck in a tiny cell and being in prison. The what is easy. Recently, I planned and set in motion events to execute the perfect bank robbery.
I have never seen it. It was on my list to watch. I know. You're so disappointed in me.
I have never seen it.
It's okay. We're going to have to just do a watch party together.
I do know that it is Michael Mann, correct?
It is not. It is actually Spike Lee.
Oh.
And it stars Denzel Washington, Clive Owen, Jodie Foster. It's a movie with a big twist, and I don't want to spoil it, especially because you two haven't seen it, and I think we should watch it. But it is a bank in Manhattan is being robbed. Clive Owen is leading this band of people, but they go into the bank, and they barricade up inside of it. Denzel Washington is playing a detective who's trying to negotiate their release and to negotiate the release of all the hostages within the bank. So again, classic heist thing. You do have a bit of a cat and mouse, but because it's really only set within the bank and the cops surrounding it, it has a very tight focus. And how Denzel and Clive play off of each other, and as you see with the master plan unfolds, I don't know. It's just a really great heist movie.
It looks exactly like something I would love. I don't know how I've slept on it for so long. It's on numerous lists doing research for this podcast. And it has, I mean, again, we're throwing this word around, prime, a lot. But I think it has prime Denzel in it. I think this was a really good era, or maybe on the tail end of it.
I mean,
perhaps actors wait until they are in their prime to pursue a heist movie.
Like, this is the heist movies are the trigger.
I think so.
Maybe into prime time.
Maybe they're...
Oh, just some thoughts.
Yeah, that was a good thought. Or how about this one? Denzel has never not been in his prime.
That is correct, too. This is my favorite Spike Lee movie, though. I have not seen Do the Right Thing. Mm-hmm. What makes this good, though, is I think its connection to New York. And it really just bleeds it out in every way. And a good watch if you just want a nice, compact heist movie.
I respect you and your taste, obviously. So this is going to be on my Netflix queue. Probably not on Netflix, though. It's going to be on my whatever queue.
Perfect. Well, then, what is going to be your fourth pick?
My fourth pick, which I am honestly kind of shocked it's lasted this long. I think it's a classic. Has aged pretty well. I am going to go with 1995's The Usual Suspects.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
Hand me the keys, you fucking cocksucker.
Number two, step forward.
Give me the fucking keys, you fucking cocksucker, motherfucker!
Knock it off, get back. Number three.
I really would have probably drafted The Usual Suspects, but I must confess that I have not seen it. So you want to invert, this is one that I really have been missing in my life.
Wow. Okay. I feel way better because I think Usual Suspects is considered more of a classic, especially for this genre. So 1995, we have just some great guys involved in this film. Bryan Singer directed it. I think it was his second film that he did. That guy's been around a long time. The cast, Stephen Baldwin, Kevin Spacey, Benicio del Toro, Kevin Pollak. Very, very mid-90s film. It won two Oscars, Best Supporting Actor for Kevin Spacey and Best Original Screenplay. It follows a truck hijack and the cops bring in five suspects, the quote-unquote usual suspects. And it involves all the actors that I had mentioned.
Very famous for that lineup scene.
Yes, yeah. Iconic picture, iconic scene, fun little tidbit. They had done that scene like 20 times, and the actors just could not keep a straight face, and Bryan Singer screaming at them, and apparently they are laughing so hard because Benicio del Toro is practically shitting his pants in there, and it's just a late night, and they don't care, and the director's screaming at them, so it's a very funny scene.
So many times the best scenes are when actors, they aren't really acting.
Yep.
They're just reacting to something that's going on.
Yeah.
Absolutely right here.
Yeah. A funny or also like chilling, like at the end of The Graduate when Mike Nichols is screaming at Dustin Hoffman and as they're in the bus and they're just stone cold, like hate their lives. But I digress. None of them are guilty of this truck heist. So they decide to revenge on the police because they're tired of being picked on. So they want to expose about, I don't know, 50 dirty cops in New York. So they set out to steal millions in emeralds for the mastermind criminal, Kaiser Soze. Oh, man, I cannot believe you have not seen this movie. It's crazy.
I feel bad about it, too.
It's okay. We all have goals.
I don't feel that bad.
Have you not seen it either?
No.
You haven't seen it? Oh, man.
And I don't feel that bad, but I want to see it.
Gigantic plot twist at the end. I mean, it's iconic. I'm not going to ruin it for you. You probably know it.
Probably inherently. I'm not thinking of it, but I'm sure.
Oh, okay. So you don't know it then. I mean, iconic shot at the very end. I mean, a great movie. You should definitely watch this.
Well, great pick.
All right, Eric, number four.
Right. For my next one, it's not as much of a heist movie, but there are definitely heists happening.
Are you about to cheat?
I'm not cheating.
Oh, you can cheat because I definitely got one that might is like super borderline that I love.
Okay. Thank you for permission. I am going to select from 2011 Drive.
Look, looks like we have a bigger problem than I thought. We're gonna have to keep the car here for a few days. So I offered your services to take Benicio and Irene home. That be okay?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I don't have wheels in my car.
Okay.
It's one thing you should know about me.
We'll put the tires on.
You got 5 minutes?
Yeah.
That's a great one. That is a great one. I don't think that's cheating at all, by the way. I think it's in the vein.
Thank you.
Yes.
Ryan Gosling is playing a getaway driver in Los Angeles. He gets involved in the mob, basically, and various heists that happen, but he is always the driver, thus the name. He's also starring alongside Carey Mulligan. I've said it before, but this movie very much is a mood. It's got a very nice synth soundtrack.
Yep.
He's driving a cool car, just cruising around LA.
He doesn't say much.
Very minimal dialogue.
It's very vibey.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It's got a lot of neon colors, takes place almost exclusively at night, as you would expect.
One of the more vivid films, I think, that I've ever seen.
This director has, that's kind of his touch and his signature style.
Yep.
This is definitely the best movie that he's come out with, Nicholas Rain. Kind of like Hell or High Water, this is a smaller movie that I think got enough acclaim at the time. No particular Oscars, but that is definitely worthy of going back and revisiting. If you just kind of want a little bit of a quieter night, don't need a big blockbuster, but you do want some good action.
Right. And I can't remember if this was his first movie, but Oscar Isaac, he was a pretty brief character in this film, but wonderful.
He tends to show up randomly in a lot of movies.
He does. Now he's a feature man.
He's a great actor.
Oh, he's incredible. Yeah. I think this...
Bryan Cranston is in this one too.
That's right. He is. Oh man. Yeah. The cast is sneaky good in this too. Christina Hendricks is in it. Of Mad Men fame. This movie really kind of harkens, it's an old school kind of heist movie. It really is a Steve McQueen-esque movie.
Right. Ryan Gosling is being very handsome of this. Definitely man of few words.
Yes.
I think that was a thing that he has like less than 40 lines of dialogue, something like that.
Yeah.
But he's wearing a cool leather jacket. He's got some cool leather driving gloves. He's ready to go.
You make it sound so cool.
Yeah.
Great pick, man. I love that movie. Was obsessed with it. So this was on my board. So well done.
I would really like this LP soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't know where all the synth came from, like that emerged from the 80s. But I think that this, as far as my recollection thinks, I think that this brought the synth back into film and TV. Now it's like, it's all over the place. I mean, Stranger Things,
it was definitely the time, because it's not, the movie is sent present day, but it does have nostalgic vibes to a simpler time.
Yeah.
To a time where like it could have been Heat.
Yeah.
But it's a different take.
Right. Yeah. Great pick.
Well, now we're going to be heading into your last pick, but I'll give you a chance. Any honorable mentions you want to bust out first?
Big shout out to 1973's The Sting, which is a classic. Redford, Newman. Love the movie. Pretty like tropey, but not predictable, not lame. I think has really aged well. Dog Day Afternoon, Pacino. Love that movie about a botched bank robbery. He's trying to rob a bank so that his wife can get a sex change. I loved Logan Lucky. I loved Baby Driver. I think that one's probably going to come off the board now that I'm saying it. Fish Called Wanda. I mean, the list literally goes on. I mean, I'm looking at a list of 30 that I love in this genre.
There are a lot of classics that I feel that I still need to go back and watch. But yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. The Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid. Oh, yeah. Snatch.
Of course.
Die Hard. Is even a heist movie in a way? It's borderline.
Die Hard is such a weird multi-category. What is even Die Hard? But
yeah, and let's just say right now, it's not a Christmas movie.
It is a Christmas
movie.
Oh,
it is.
Oh my
it
gosh.
Is.
It's not a Christmas movie. It's not a Christmas movie.
This is debate for another time.
Okay.
What is your final pick?
My final pick is that Die Hard is not a Christmas movie. My final pick... much to possibly your chagrin, but the heart wants what the heart wants, baby, is 1992's classic, Reservoir Dogs.
You wanna fuck with me? I'll show you who you're fucking with.
You wanna shoot me, you little piece of shit? Go ahead, take a shot.
Fuck you, White. I didn't create this situation. I'm dealing with it. You're acting like a first-year fucking thief. I'm acting like a professional. They get him, they can get you. They get you, they get closer to me, and that can't happen. And you're looking at me like it's my fault? I didn't tell him my name. I didn't tell him where I was from. Shit, 15 minutes ago, you almost told me your name.
I respect it.
Interesting.
I think it's definitely a different heist movie, and I'm not sure if the next one that I pick applies. This definitely applies.
Okay.
It's different because the heist is like very brief. You'd also barely even see any of it.
No, really, you only see the exterior.
I just want to say that this is very heisty behavior. All of this
But being all about the aftermath of the heist and breaking down what happened.
Yes.
Who is the snake? Who is the rat?
Yep.
It completely fits.
Yeah. And I mean, this movie had a $1.2 million budget, Quentin Tarantino's first film. And in today's money, that's only $2.1 million. And he produced a film that had an amazing soundtrack. I mean, Stuck in the Middle with You while Michael Madsen is cutting off your ears to torture you, try and figure out if you're a cop. Yet you can watch it and he makes it light, yet it's so dark and grotesque and gruesome.
You can see how Tarantino immediately out of the gate became such a force in Hollywood.
Yes.
Because it's strange to have such a strong perspective as a director and a unique brand. You have all that there. You have the good personal acting performances. You have the shocking violence.
Yep.
But it's all put together so expertly. Where would you rank this amongst the Tarantino movies? I know you're a big fan.
Yes. I would say top five. I much like this list. I would not put Pulp Fiction at number one. I would go with Django Unchained. I don't know why. I love it so much.
You're perfect for this podcast. You're just dropping hot takes.
I know. Right. I love it. I don't know why. Very obvious to say that without this film, not only because it's Tarantino's first film, but truly without this film, he would not be around. I mean, and his movies would look so drastically different had he started with a different movie. He had Harvey Keitel, he had Tim Roth, he had Michael Madsen, who are all peppered in his films. I mean, all of them except Madsen are in Pulp Fiction. Madsen plays a huge role in the Kill Bill movies, which are brilliant. He really set a foundation here and did a ton with very little. And it was just a different movie. I mean, this is 1992.
Yeah, the beginning diner scene where they're famously shooting the shit. And then also talking about how, you know, if you should tip a waitress or not.
Which you should.
Yes, to settle that, of course.
Yeah.
And then all the way.
Come on, Buscemi.
And then all the way to the very end where you just have all of them pointing guns at each other.
Yep.
And everyone dies.
Yeah. It's perfect. And
are we just out to spoil every heist movie?
Yes, we are.
Today?
This is 1992. If we've seen it, we're going to spoil it.
Sorry, Sandra.
Were you going to watch it, Sandra?
I've seen Reservoir Dogs.
Okay. And?
And it was okay.
Well, I think this is a great pick, of course.
Thank you.
Eric, I'm anxious to hear what your next pick is going to be.
To answer your earlier thought, yes, I did think about picking Baby Driver. Very close.
Yes.
But ultimately, I think that's pretty similar to Drive, but I prefer Drive as a movie. But Baby Driver, also great, great movie.
Yep. Too new.
Right. You covered a lot of the good classics there. I think we've gotten a lot of coverage and over the course of this draft as well. I kind of like how this has turned out.
Yep.
You didn't know what I was going to pick after all this.
I didn't. I knew you were going to go with Ocean's 11. But what are some of your honorable mentions? I am dying to know what is not on your board at all.
Well, another one that I briefly thought about, which, you know, it's on a lot of lists worth mentioning, probably my favorite movie of the franchise, Fast Five. Pretty interesting movie. Just a big, stupid blockbuster. But as a heist, when at the end, when they're driving down the street, just hauling a bank vault, Incredible. Incredible
and
sequence.
And realistic.
Yes, so realistic.
I have never seen it.
I'm just going to go right into it. I think a debatable Mission Impossible, not really a heist movie, but it's so famous for its heist, for the infiltration of the CIA.
Yes.
So worthy of an honorable mention.
There are so many that are borderline.
Right. And this next one, that is my final pick, is a little bit borderline because it's quite the epic. But if there is anything that kind of defines an Eric movie, this is it. It's 2012's The Place Beyond the Pines.
Ah!
I want to do the trust call on Brandywine. And when all those fucking pigs are coming after me, I want to split out the back. I want to go down to Rotterdam and I want to do that First National.
You know something, Luke? If you ride like lightning, you're gonna crash like thunder. I'm not gonna let you bring us both down.
Eric asked me to watch this movie within a month or so of dating. It was that important to him.
Hey, I mean, this movie, Ryan Gosling and Eva Mendes, I mean, would not have happened without this movie.
Yeah,
it's
I guess
cultural.
I guess I have a thing for Ryan Gosling or something. Here he is showing up again. As a motorcycle driver.
Your wife just gave me.
I'm sorry. We got Ryan Gosling, Bradley Cooper,
yep.
Eva Mendes. It's a three-part epic. It'd be too hard to really cover the whole plot of this movie.
It's deep.
Because it spans generations.
Mm-hmm.
But the core of this movie that sets up everything that is to follow is the sins of the father, and that is Ryan Gosling, in an effort to provide for his new baby boy, he decides to start robbing banks. So he's going all over with his motorcycle, he's getting increasingly reckless, and then it finally ends. But what I just love about this movie is that its scope and its weighty themes, and again, I'm suckered in by the mood. I can feel the trailer flying through the woods outside of Schenectady, New York. And you have Ben Mendelsohn's voice. Got to ride like lightning, crash like thunder.
Yeah. Oh, this movie is drastically underrated as well. I think this came out right around Drive. And I think everyone was still high on Drive. I think that movie just overshadowed The Place Beyond the Pines. I think this is a very weighty movie. It's a very serious movie. Ryan Gosling is not in this movie that much either.
No.
It's mostly actually Bradley Cooper and Eva Mendes.
And Ray Liotta later as well.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's just so many layers to this movie. It was directed by Derek Sanfrance, who also did Blue Valentine.
Which, that movie completely wrecks me.
Devastating.
Oh, it's horrible. It's a brilliant film, but it makes me want to like just go into my
just die.
Yeah, pretty much.
Blue Valentine is devastating, but he has a very distinctive style, a very intuitive look at the human condition. That's what I love most about movies.
Yeah, yeah. It's you have a character who you are so drawn to because he's an anti-hero, he's the underdog, he wants to do the right thing, but he does the wrong thing in the process. Falls completely, and it's really interesting to see the fallout of decades of the impact on a family and on a young son. And yeah, this is brilliant movie, awesome feel. Also, I do not remember how to say his name.
Mahershala Ali.
He's in this movie.
Yeah, that's right.
Early?
One of his first roles.
Yeah.
Well, I think this has been a great draft. There's a few movies that we got to go back, take a look at. I got to watch Usual Suspects. You got to watch Inside Man.
Yep.
But I thank you very much for joining us, man.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. Very diverse draft, competitive yet enlightening. And I think our draft boards were vastly different, but I think that we do have the same taste in many things. And I want to go back and watch your entire draft now. So thanks for having me.
And thank you, dear listener, for joining us this week. You can head over to our Instagram or Twitter at First Round Flick and vote for the draft you liked best.
And please don't forget to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It really helps people find our show.
As always, our music is provided by the wonderful Grant Bennett, and we will catch you next week. Bye.
Bye.
ultimately, this becomes a dream within a dream within a dream.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can we move on? Are we done now?